Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Today we'll be talking about that a little bit later, though. But good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And once again, we've got the great Steve Silva sitting in for Kamlyn Jackson.
Oh, he couldn't be here, so I'm taking his place.
Okay, cool. Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. And of course, I got my partner there, Mr. Forrest Hartle.
Howdy.
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
And I just killed the crystal ball. Sorry.
Why is this up over there?
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
Hello. Good morning, and we thank you for joining us as we are slowly getting here in Orange County, California. If you are new to Your Weekly Dose, this program eventually will be about having fun. We'll recap our past week and get around to laughing sometime soon.
That's right. We hope that we're going to be laughing later on today and all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassment things, the silly things, the awkward things, even things that we're afraid to talk about.
The things that connect us all, make us human, and remind us that laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, of course, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or check us out on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Absolutely. And of course, you can also say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or email us, yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes. And let's see, what we got going on? Oh my God, we got a lot going on. It's going to be a busy day. It's going to be all about kings, Star Wars, princesses, Mexican Award of the Day, because we've gotten all those things going on all this weekend, and holy cow, I can't believe it.
A lot
of things going on, absolutely. So join us, will you?
And remember, you can download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. Or if you're busy on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. And today's theme song is All the King's Horses by The Monkees.
It's hard to be in a bad mood when the Monkees are playing.
Oh, God, no, you can never be in a bad mood.
You don't have any depressing.
Never, yeah. So, and of course, the reason why we chose this is because of King Charles III.
Who?
Some dude or whatever had this, you know, imperial margarine butter thing on his head.
He spread the butter?
He spread the butter on his head and, you know, some... Yeah, some ladies with him, too, or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He was wearing something that was 400 years old.
Really?
Was that Camilla?
400. That may have been.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just asking.
And Ari showed up. Ari and William.
Yeah, they both showed up, but only the oldest.
Ari, yeah.
The oldest, whatever, said that I'll be here for you again, you know, and whatever, during the ceremony.
Yeah.
Showed his what do you call it? Not honor, but...
Yeah.
Loyalty to him.
Oh, we'll be talking about that later.
So, as always, guys, all the music that we play here on Your Weekly Dose, don't forget you can always go to our main sponsor, which is Amazon, because Lord knows we love Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight, including downloading the whole Monkees catalog, because, damn it, they got a lot of great songs, because they had a lot of good songwriters write for them, so that's really cool. So go ahead and do that. There. Said and done, and there you go. All right. Well, should we catch up, guys?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get this ball rolling. So, I'm going to start with my partner.
Yeah.
Forrest, how was your week, bud?
Busy week. Busy week.
What'd you do?
We're getting close to finals at all the old colleges, and so things are gearing up. Students have got spring-itis or senior-itis at the high school level.
Yeah.
So, they're kind of coming and going. A lot of I can't make it this week. I got this going on. And I had one student just straight up. I caught them in just a lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a fun moment.
What did they say?
It was an acting class where they went, I've got to go do this thing. And I was like, but you said the opposite earlier. You said you didn't have the thing earlier. And that thing when an actor's like,
oh, shit.
And the eyes are like darting to the left and the right. And you're like, and I was just like, just go. You got something to do. You got something
to do. Get out of here before I kill you.
Yeah, just go do whatever you got to do. At the college level, it's like, I mark them down. They live with it, you know. It's they're adults now.
So. Exactly.
Yeah, but in an acting class, I was like, "You got to do better. You got to do better with your excuses."
Yeah,
like you gotta believe it.
You gotta believe your lies.
And so you turn.
Honest officer, I didn't know she was underage.
No, God.
It seems like that's the last class in the world you should get caught in a lie
right,
in.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's make this a learning moment. Let's try that again.
Yeah.
Give me your excuse again.
So, Professor Hartle, I've got this thing I've got to go to. Yeah.
You got the rash? The rash came back?
It did, and it's in a private area, so it hit me in a different way. So,
say no more.
You
know,
thank you. I appreciate
we're
it.
We're in the downstairs bathroom?
Exactly, yeah, and I got to rub the cream on it, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, go.
Great, thanks, I appreciate it.
Godspeed.
See, that's how you do it, folks. That's how you do it.
Commit,
no matter what.
Yep. So, yeah, that was it. Busy week.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Steve, how about you, bud?
Oh, I've been just watching The Love Boat, lots of stuff, watching all the cool stars and stuff that were of the time, you know, from the 50s up through the 80s and stuff. Some of them are just starting. Some of them have been for a while. So that was fun. Mm-hmm. Watching the Lakers. They're kind of they're betting on the home court advantage. You know, they're coming out in the first game and just leaving it all on the floor and winning the first game. So then that gives them home court advantage.
Yeah.
So now that's what they're going to do. And tonight they play in here in L.A. And
I'll be honest, I haven't been watching that much. How good are they looking right now, though? I mean, or is it kind of like
if you look at them in general, they're a really good team. They could end up in.
The playoffs.
But, I mean the finals.
Right, yeah.
The championship. Yeah. But they have to be careful because they have to know when to turn it on and just keep it turned on.
Yeah.
So right now in game two, both that series and this series, they both kind of just tanked it like it was a rest because winning the first game was important because that gave them home court advantage so they didn't have to worry about winning the second game.
Got it.
So now tonight we'll see. How that
tonight's
works
what,
out.
Game three?
Yeah. Game three at the crypto.
Yeah.
Crypto.
Crypto.com.
Com, yeah.
But where?
The renamed Staples to crypto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a year ago or something.
I forgot about that crap.
Yeah, the crypt.
So. I know, it's so silly.
Well, it's the sponsors. Well, it's like when Arrowhead, when Anaheim, whatever, it was originally called The Pond.
Yeah.
Because it was done by Arrowhead Water.
Yeah. Yeah. So. What is it now? I don't even know.
The Pond?
Yeah.
Honda, isn't it?
Honda Center.
Okay.
Yeah, because Honda.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in a while.
Huh? Yeah, neither have I.
Think about it.
I think the last time I was there, I went to go see Jeff Dunham.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at some of the things from Jeff Dunham, and he's
killing it, man.
He has it down so well that he'll make a mistake in one of the characters – and then the it'll turn into a discussion about it, like
he's just riffing off the cuff.
Yeah, it's like it is so bizarre because he's talking, you know, to himself.
Yeah,
through these things, and to watch him, sometimes you go, how in the hell is he thinking that fast?
Wow.
He must have rehearsed this a right. billion times because,
right.
but I think he just has it down from so many years. He'll make a mistake and he'll use it.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
He doesn't try to hide it or anything. He'll use it. And then you go, how is he doing that? How is he making that into a conversation that makes sense?
And he's been doing it for so long.
With the other characters, yeah.
I think time, you would just flow with it, right?
Yeah. Like very easily. I mean, because I've been fortunate enough to meet him when his first DVD came out, because there was a store here in Huntington Beach that it was nothing but, it was called DVD Planet, and he was doing an in-store signing.
Uh-huh.
And matter of fact, he's holding Roman at the time. That's how long ago it was.
This was a while ago.
This was a while ago, yeah. You know, 18 years ago, basically. Actually, a little bit less than that. Probably about 15. I think Roman was like 2 or 3.
Okay.
And, we got to meet him. Really nice guy, of course. But Karen and I have also seen him in the clubs up close, you know, do his stuff and everything. He was good back then and just killed it.
Yeah.
You know, so to see his fame grow, you know, out of this whole thing and create the characters that he's created. Yeah, like, I remember when he first introduced Ahmed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard the idea of, like, wait a minute, the guy's a skeleton.
Yeah.
And of course, this is, you know, post 9/11.
Yeah.
He's a terrorist.
He's a dead terrorist.
But he's a dead terrorist.
Yeah.
How is this going to work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he does it brilliantly.
Yeah.
When you watch the videos of him in the Middle East, the people love Ahmed.
Oh, yeah.
They go crazy. He was afraid. He was like, well, I don't know how they're going to do this.
Really? But he performed it there?
He performed it there, and they loved it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, because he makes such a realistic thing over it, like, you know, what were you thinking? You know, I just watched the Middle East crowds just are up there. Yeah.
Oh, they totally get it.
Yeah,
totally
get
because they know it's a spoof.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not their culture that he's attacking.
Yeah,
It's this entity that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when he goes to Jerusalem. You know, and because, you know, Ahmed's supposed to be going against the Jews and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's like, what? I mean, it's hysterical, you know, and it's...
It reminds me a little bit of how Don Rickles was able to get away with things he did.
Oh, yeah.
He made
taboo.
It so real and so, you know, it's like you knew how he was doing and what he meant.
And poking fun at himself, whether it be the character he's doing or Jeff himself, you know, that's where it really comes in, you know.
So to me, that's one of the things about Jeff Dunham is he's able to sell that and make it appropriate. And then when Ahmed and Jalapeno on the Stick get into an argument or they're talking and he's talking back and forth.
And he's doing all three different voices.
One thing's funny, when he does Peanut, and Peanut has a dummy that looks like Jeff Dunham.
Oh, yeah, Little Jeff.
Jeff, and he's operating him. He's doing that voice in the box voice, his own.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've never seen anybody do that kind of thing before.
Yeah.
Well, I've got something for you guys while we're talking about it. Of course, we're talking a little bit more about it later on, too, though, but... the last couple of days, basically May 4th and May 5th, it's a big Star Wars day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause it's May the 4th be with you. And of course, the May 5th is not just Cinco de Mayo, but it's also Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th.
You know, which is a play on Revenge of the Sith. So anyway, so Jeff Dunham actually did Star Wars, The Force Awakens Lost Audition Tapes. So let's take a listen to this for you guys.
Read the card, please. I'm a Jedi Knigget.
That's Jedi Knight.
No, I'm not. I have been waiting for you, Obi-Wan.
It's Obi-Wan. Could you do it again, please?
What? Is it not the droid you're looking for?
Seriously? Why do I always have to play the furry guy? This sucks!
What's my motivation here? Do or do not. There is no try, senor.
Abracadabra. Shazam! Almost. Almost got it.
Use the force, dumbass.
Luke! I am your father, Luke. I am your father.
You're not my father. You're my uncle's cousin's brother, and they got divorced, so you're nothing to me.
It's use the force, Luke.
Use the force, dumbass. Is that better?
Who gives a dog a gun? Seriously, really?
Holy crap, this turban is heavy.
These are not the droids you're looking for. Yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. No, they're not.
You know your mother chose that name, Luke. I wanted to call you Steve.
I am a Jedi. Honesty.
Princess Leia is my sister?
Come to the dark side. Because if you don't, I kill you. Welcome to the Star Wars Cantina. Get your shit and get out.
He doesn't actually say, I kill you?
Yes, he does.
This is fun, but, you know, a shotgun works better.
May the force be with you, senor.
Could you read that line one more time, just with a little more energy?
May the force be with you, senor.
Obi-Wan has taught you well. Wait, wouldn't that be Obi-Wan has taught you good? Isn't that it? I felt a great disturbance in the force. Can I kill someone now? Seriously.
May the force be with you.
Chewbacca doesn't have lines.
Whatever.
Oh, my arm! Ow! Ow! Dad, no!
When do I get to start killing people? You got the Death Star, you got your light sticks, you got the freaking force. Why not just the bomb? All done. Genius.
I think I need to go to the doctor because this has been out for more than 4 hours. Cut.
Just ended on like a non-joke.
Let me get this straight. You want me to play a white dude? Oh, hell no.
Wow. We'll put that up on our Facebook page or whatever so you guys can watch it. Really funny. Good. But no, John Dunham is a genius, man. And if you ever get a chance to go see him, definitely go. I mean, like I said, I was fortunate to see him in the clubs.
Yeah.
Before, you know, see him in the stadiums. And there really is no difference, you know, back between then and now. I mean, it's the same. It's just...
He started when he was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I read a kind of a funny story. He was starting to get known, and he needed headshots with his dummies and stuff, and he couldn't afford it.
Right.
So... He went, ooh, senior picture day is coming up. So yeah. He took his dummy and had the senior picture taken with his dummy so he got free headshots.
Exactly. And they went, okay.
Okay.
All right. And in his yearbook, that's what it is.
Two names on there.
It's got it. Yeah. Yeah. So, but really good.
How was your week?
A little busy. Been working on a couple of things musically, so that's been keeping me really, because how do I explain it? I'm doing this course, whatever, for marketing, you know, for musicians, and it's a different way of doing and things right now. So it's more or less the more modern way of marketing kind of a thing, where they use, like, you know, funnels and stuff and enticements and this and that or whatever. So I've been working on that all week. And so that's really kept me busy. And then, well, yesterday you and I were supposed to get together to go see Roman's.
Yeah.
Or go to this improv thing at Roman's High School.
Yeah, how'd it go?
So I don't know because you didn't go. I didn't go.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, okay, well, you ain't going to go. I ain't going to go. But.
I'm glad I didn't go.
We missed all the action, though.
Yeah.
Because apparently there was an accident that happened at there.
Oh.
So they had two poles, two lighting trees, basically. Just straight poles, though, And each one had about four Linko lights, which are these really big, long lights, you know, theater lights that you see. And apparently they had opened up one door on one side of the building, and then the on the other side, they opened it up over there. Well, when they opened up the second door on the first side, it created a bigger wind tunnel in the room.
Okay.
And the stage left, tree.
Oh, no.
Came down and hit two students.
Oh.
Ambulance was called and everything and what have you.
Are they okay? So
they seemed to be okay. Yeah. There was no major injuries, but.
Oh, wow.
Ambulance was called and everything and what have you, but. Yeah.
But whose job? Somebody's job is to secure those.
Well, the thing is, they have been up all this time.
Okay.
And as far as I can tell, they had sandbags on them and everything and what have you. But once that second door was opened,
it just got too powerful.
It got too powerful and pulled one of those light trees down.
Wow. That's scary.
It is. It is. So I got there to give Roman his dinner. Because Kitty Corner from the high school, there's a really cool hole-in-the-wall taco place.
Okay.
That's there. And so, we've eaten there.
Ooh.
We've had lunch there. I went there, picked up dinner, took it over to him. And so, but he, in that whole process, he calls me, he says, hey, we had an accident, blah, 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 whatever. So Mrs. C, the teacher, wants us to take these down. So I get there, and they're taking down both of the lighting trees, and so I was helping them do that and everything.
Boy.
So really scary because when you see that happen or whatever,
because those lights are solid enough, but if they hit you in the head or something, it's going to knock you out.
Oh yeah, and I think two of the kids had small cuts on their head or whatever. Yeah. So. You know, like I said, ambulance was called and what have you and everything. So it got scary there for a moment. And when you see that thing in a theater, it's like,
oof.
So,
yeah.
And I'm working on my train again. So, So
nice.
Finally figured out how to build my mountain and have access inside my mountain so I can clean the track and make sure the train doesn't derail.
Yes, there is a mountain.
So, So that's been my week.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So easy.
Fun.
Well, you know what? I think we should do what's trending. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
All right.
With Steve Silva.
That's such snappy music.
Isn't it?
I like that. That's very nice.
Thanks, Cameron.
Yes. Well, everybody, the world is a better place now because England has a new monarch.
Yep.
Yeah, we love kings and monarchs and things like that. Of course, they don't do much over there except collect money, but yeah.
Right?
Sit on the throne. That makes it a good job.
It's funny. The guy has no power, but he is the head of state.
It's, odd.
Yeah.
Really weird. Well, King Charles III and his wife, Queen Camilla, my roommate's name's Camilla. They were crowned in London Saturday in an elaborate spectacle full of pomp and ceremony. More than 2,200 guests from across the world, including the First Lady, Jill Biden, joined the royal family at the historic Westminster Abbey. I always thought that was a person.
Really?
From Westminster, yeah.
Wow.
It's the first coronation in 70 years.
That
old lady lived a long time. While crowds of spectators lined the streets to watch the procession through the city. And that's the name of that tune.
Yeah.
Here's something we were all talking about last week, and we've been thinking about and stuff, about Ed Sheeran.
Mm.
I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but that's what I'm going with.
Sheeran, yeah, you're right.
He wins the copyright infringement lawsuit.
Good.
The Marvin Gaye family or whatever sued him because they said that his song, who won a Grammy, Thinking Out Loud, had a part in it that was the same as a Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On. Well, a Manhattan jury has found the musician did not engage in willful copyright infringement following a trial that saw Sheeran playing guitar and singing in court. Oh, what a
part of his testimony. Yeah,
what a venue and that is.
Yeah, intimate.
The jury reached the decision after about 3 hours of deliberation. Sheeran, seated at the defense table in a suit and tie between his lawyers, hugged his attorneys when the verdict was read. I'm obviously very happy with the outcome of the case, and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all. Sheeran told reporters outside the courthouse, but at the same time, I'm unbelievably frustrated that baseless claims like this are allowed to go to court at all.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about in the car today about how, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, because I know he had put out a statement, too, saying that if he loses this case, that he was
going to retire.
That's it. I'm done.
Right? Because a guy like him, he could be a target then from other people going, well, you stole this, you stole that. Like we were talking last week that this could snowball.
Yeah, exactly. I've got his statement, too, here that, excuse me, that he made right after leaving the courthouse. So let's play that real quick.
Good morning, afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much for being out here. I'm obviously very happy with the outcome of the case, and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all. But at the same time, I'm unbelievably frustrated that baseless claims like this are allowed to go to court at all. We've spent the last 8 years talking about two songs with dramatically different lyrics, melodies, and four chords, which are also different and used by songwriters every day all over the world. These chords are common building blocks, which were used to create music long before Let's Get It On was written, and will be used to make music long after we are all gone. They are in a songwriter's alphabet, our toolkit, and should be there for all of us to use. No one owns them, all the way they are played, in the same way that nobody owns the color blue. Unfortunately, unfounded claims like this are being fueled by individuals who are offered as music experts in musical analysis. In this instant, the other side's musicologists left out words and notes, presented simple and different pitches as melody, and by doing so, created what I think we proved for all to see were misleading comparisons and disinformation to find supposed similarities where none exist. And I think we proved for all to see that they tried to manipulate my and Amy's song to try and convince the jury that they had a genuine claim. I'm very grateful that the jury saw through those attempts. This seems so dangerous to me, both potential claimants who may be convinced to bring a bogus claim, as well as those songwriters facing them. It's simply wrong. By stopping this practice, we can also properly support genuine music copyright claims, so legitimate claims are rightly heard and resolved. If the jury had decided this matter the other way, we might as well say goodbye to the creative freedom of songwriters. We need to be able to write our original music and engage in independent creation without worrying at every step of the way that such creativity will be wrongly called into question. Like artists everywhere, Amy and I work hard to independently create songs which are often based around real-life personal experience. It's devastating to be accused of stealing someone else's song when we've put so much work into our livelihoods. I'm just a guy with a guitar who loves writing music for people to enjoy. I am not and will never allow myself to be a piggy bank for anyone to shake. Having to be in New York for this trial has meant that I've missed being with my family at my grandmother's funeral in Ireland, and I will never get that time back. These trials take a significant toll on everyone involved, including Catherine. I want to thank the jury for making the decision that will help protect the creative process of songwriters here in the United States and all around the world. I also want to thank my team, these guys, who've supported me throughout this difficult process, and to all the songwriters, musicians, and fans who've reached out with messages of support over the last few weeks. And finally, I would like to thank Amy. Neither of us ever expected that 9 years ago, from our wonderful writing session, that we'll be here having to defend our integrity. Amy, I feel so lucky to have you in my life. Thank you. We need songwriters and the wider community to come together and bring back common sense. These claims need to be stopped so the creative process can carry on and we can all go back to making music. And at the same time, we absolutely need trusted individuals, real experts, who help support the process of protecting copyright. Thank you.
There you go.
That's well said.
Yeah. Very well said.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I've got a new respect for the guy overall.
Yeah, I've only seen him on an episode of Game of Thrones. He acted in one episode, and I don't know anything else about him. And
you should see the movie Yesterday.
Oh, is
yeah.
He?
Oh, yeah. He's in that.
Oh,
yeah.
Is he? Yeah. I mean,
because he takes the guy under wing because he's going, "Wow, you're such a fabulous songwriter," you know.
Oh, is that the Beatles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've checked that out. Yeah,
it's really good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I respect that. That was well said. Statement.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
All right. Moving right along, we come to an actress we all know well because she appeared in a bikini in Star Wars. It's Carrie Fisher. She was honored with her own Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame. Mm. In a fitting tribute to Carrie Fisher, who played Princess Leia Organa. I don't know what it is. In the original and Star Wars trilogies, family, friends, and fans gathered in Hollywood Thursday.
Oh, I hit that.
Yeah.
When that happens, I pull something up.
To unveil her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, her daughter, Billie Lard, who accepted the honor in her mother's absence, wore a gown featuring Leia in her most iconic look, the princess and rebel fighter with two space buns from Star Wars, A New Hope. I guess she wasn't standing with a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Buns on her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost said bums, but I have a new. That's from Star Wars: A New Hope, and glittery makeup that paid homage to Fisher's penchant to tossing glitter at fans during convention meet and greets.
Yeah,
Carrie
would do that or whatever. You know, she would toss the glitter. Nice. That's Carrie.
Her daughter, Billie Lard, acts as well. I believe some people want her to take over the role.
Really?
I mean, that's just fans saying it on Twitter, but, like, wanting her to take over if they use the Leia character that the daughter could play it. And that seems like a fitting, if they're going to continue that character.
Didn't they use her in some of the shots?
I believe they did for some, like...
Well, she's in the movie. She's in the new trilogy as a separate character.
Yeah.
But there was another actress... that they use because she had more of the features.
Interesting.
Of Carrie, especially when Carrie was 19. And so we're, and they use that for the Rogue One.
The de-aging of her in Rogue One?
Right, yeah.
And she has that cameo?
Yeah, right. So at the very, very end or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when she's escaping from her father. Uh-huh. Oh, spoiler alert!
if you haven't seen it by now, come on.
It's been on all weekend, people, since Thursday, so come on. Which is kind of cool. They actually played all the films, including Solo and Rogue One. So they're all doing it in order.
Oh, nice.
But they use another actress or whatever for that.
Sure.
You know, so then they can superimpose Carrie's look, you know, a little bit easier or whatever on it, you know. So, but, I mean, if Billie's going to take over, I don't know if she should take over the Princess Leia role because Leia died.
A prequel or something, or one of those, like, when she's younger.
Yeah, well, and then now there's talk about whether or not they're going to do the next films also, because there was talk regarding another trilogy.
I heard that they announced that.
Where Rey, it was going to be more about Rey or whatever. And then now the actress who plays Rey.
Daisy Ridley.
Said, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not now.
Oh, I thought they announced it.
So they announced it that that's what they want to do, but now there's, you know, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's just so much opinion either way, you know, pro and con about these films. They felt really, like, polarizing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, these last three, so.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, they still got Jon Favreau doing all the stuff, you know, on...
The TV stuff.
On the TV stuff, which has been really good.
I thought so, too.
You know, I just finished watching The Mandalorian Season 3.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that was kind of interesting on how they ended that.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's interesting. Like, it gets your attention, the different directions it goes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, pretty good on that whole level. You know, I'm really excited, though, to see Ahsoka.
Yeah, me too.
That's good because, I mean, if you're a Star Wars fan and are really into all the different things, it's going to bring elements of the Clone Wars and elements of Rebels, which were both animated series, coming into that as well.
Yeah, and I love Rosario Dawson. You know, she's great in that role, and she's great.
Yeah.
In other roles, too.
Well, to see Ahsoka in person, you know, it's like they teased it a little bit because, like, in Mandalorian, they show Zeb. which is a character from Rebels.
Uh-huh.
And so there's a scene towards, I think it's with the because there's what, 8 episodes in Mandalorian? So I think it's episode 6 or 7 that they show Zeb in it. You know, mm-hmm. so it's already after, you know, the rebellion and everything and so forth, of course. Mm-hmm. So, but it was interesting to introduce that character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in this one little scene and tease it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then if you watch the trailers of Ahsoka, uh-huh. it's blatant that they're using characters from Rebels.
Cool, cool.
So,
cool.
Yeah, it's going to be
That'd
pretty
be fun.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. It's a huge world. There's so many different, like, within the universe, so many different
well,
stories
like,
to
it's
tell.
Like the books even. The books went in different ways mm-hmm. where they told a lot of stories of Han Solo before he joined the Rebellion, yeah. you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
There was stuff about the Rogue Squadron, you know, the Red Squadron, whatever, that Luke was a part
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it covers Wedge Antilles in...
Wedge.
And in because Wedge took over for the was it Red... The red X-Wing yeah. guys, whatever, you know. And
what about what's the guy's name? Porkins?
Well, he died.
The heavy set guy. Oh, he died?
Yeah, Porkins
died. We're not going to get a Porkins.
We're not going to get a Porkins, no.
How he became Porkins?
Yeah. Well, he ate too much carbs.
Too much.
Too much carbs. That's yep. what happened. Not enough Weight Watchers.
Not enough, yeah.
You know. But, you know, there's other things that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole Star Wars thing, you know. And, of course, the new game just came out also.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it's interesting, you know, what you can do with it and try to keep in with the lore and connecting everything.
Yeah.
And it's like with the last episode of Mandalorian, it's like, remember in the original Star Wars film, New Hope, where Uncle Owen and Luke buy 3PO? But they don't take R2, they take the red droid.
That fizzles out or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so that's R5-D4.
Okay.
Okay. He's actually in The Mandalorian.
Oh, is it like a
in the last three or four episodes,
yeah,
whatever, he's in it.
That's right.
And they refer to him as like, oh, yeah, well, when he worked as you know, an astromech droid during the rebellion.
Because where is The Mandalorian in the timeline of the trilogy?
It's right. It's so many years after Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It's a number of years after.
Yeah, it's like 5 years or something like that after Return of the Jedi. So that's why the Empire is still there, because they haven't fully wiped them all away yet.
They're like, underground or something.
Not really, but they're still trying to have control, you know, of certain sectors while the New Republic is starting, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
And this is interesting storylines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
So, but, I mean, Favreau, again, has done a great job with it, you know, in keeping all this alive. I mean, you know, he did it with Marvel, with the start of Iron Man. So he's doing basically the same thing and connecting everything together, which is great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
What else this has been your Star Wars moment on your weekly dose. Okay, moving on now. Something a little more serious here. Well, I'm glad it doesn't affect us, but the TV and movie writers have gone on strike.
Yeah.
Yep.
They went on strike Tuesday for the first time in 15 years.
I felt like it was longer than that.
Yeah, it was like 09, 08.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that. After negotiations with the film studios failed to reach a new contract, history suggests the walkout could last weeks or even months, meaning a hiatus in production for everything from favorite late night shows who all immediately stopped.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live.
That's wow. Mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live, did you? Yeah. Here's how we got here and what could happen next. Some 11,500 film and TV writers.
Oh, man.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
Belonging to the Writers Guild of America are negotiating with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers.
Yeah.
Which represents 8 major studios: Amazon, Apple, Disney, Warner Brothers, Discovery, NBC, Universal, Netflix, Paramount, and Sony.
That's a lot.
CBS News and Paramount are owned by Paramount Global.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the name of that tune.
Yeah, I've got several friends that have been on the picket lines all week, and it's causing a lot of anxiety and a lot of, you know, just worry about where their income's going to come from and how long this will last. The last one lasted 3 months, I believe, and they don't know, but they're gauging maybe it'll last 3 months again.
Wow.
But they're not even negotiating right now. They're just waiting for the to be and ready to negotiate again.
It's staggering to me the number of people that are affected by it, other it's than bigger. The writers and the producers and the actors. You think about everybody that's doing everything backstage.
Yeah,
behind the scenes, yeah.
Supporting everything, all the support. There's like,
everything from the carpenters to the caterers to...
Oh, my God, everything.
You know, yeah, it's just, you know, to the pages that help out, the showrunners, or not the showrunners, but... just you know, people who'll help bring in the audiences or whatever, you know, from the shooting on a soundstage for the sitcoms and stuff like that. You know, I mean, there's a lot. It affects a lot. I saw something where there was a flower shop, I think it was, that was affected. And she said that last time that she stayed open because she felt like she could weather the storm, so to speak. And this time she says, "No, I'm gonna close down and then reopen when everything comes back up."
It's not worth
it. You know,
it.
So yeah, she said it wasn't worth it for her. So it affects a lot of people. They don't realize.
Yeah.
It's not just the writers.
Pay up, damn it.
Yeah, the grips, the cameramen.
Yep.
Everybody.
Yep.
And of course, it affected one of our favorite females, Drew Barrymore.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, she came out for support, right?
Oh, yeah. My God.
She stepped down. She was going to host the MTV Movie and TV Awards. And she's stepping away as the host for this year's awards as a show of solidarity with the Writers Guild of America.
Ah.
Well, earlier this week, the WGA called on TV film writers back away from their keyboards, head to the picket lines. So Barrymore, who was set to helm the awards on May 7th, is now signaling her support by not being the host anymore.
And I'll be honest, I was really looking forward to her hosting. And it's probably one of the few times that I was going to watch the show.
So did they cancel it?
She's
no.
pretty amazing.
They're still going forward, but without a host.
Without a host. Interesting.
Yeah.
I have listened to the writers, and in order to truly respect them, I will pivot from hosting the MTV Movie and TV Awards live in solidarity with the strike. The actor and talk show host said in a statement to NBC News, "Everything we celebrate and honor about movies and television is born out of their creation."
That's true.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a very, very accurate statement.
Yeah.
You know, you think about these shows, like something like Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
He's got writers.
Seth Meyers. They both have
a staff.
All kinds of staff and writers and things writing and competing and writing and joining together and writing. And it's amazing.
You go all the way back to even Carson. Carson had writers.
Yeah.
Oh, down.
You know, it was just that Carson knew how to deliver those jokes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we just think that, it's all coming from him. But no. He just makes it look very simple and easy.
Yeah.
But there's a team behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them, you know, whether it was Letterman or even Fallon,
mm-hmm.
you know, they've all had their, you know, Conan, they've all had their writers and stuff. And
to circle back to Star Wars again.
Yeah.
You know the story that he originally wanted to do a Flash Gordon movie. And they wouldn't give him the rights to Flash Gordon, or he couldn't. George Lucas. So it was originally supposed to be Flash Gordon that he wanted to do, which he loved.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so he couldn't get the rights, and he went, well, screw it. I'll just make my own.
I'll make my own.
And so him writing that, look at how much has come from him just going, okay, I'll make my own. All from that, for the original idea. So the writers definitely do. You know, I definitely am in the camp of the writer.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, it's the magic of the writers, you know. That have this thing to say, this is my vision or my story I want to tell.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's the actor's job to translate those words into the action and the emotion that the writer is doing.
The designers, the director, they all come around.
That's why we give away Oscars for those, you know, for both, you know, original screenplay and
adaptive. Yeah.
You know, there's a reason for that. And yeah, everything they do, every TV show, you know, there's the writers for it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's resolved soon.
Yeah. I'm trying to get Tracy Newman back on.
Oh, yeah.
Because Tracy is an award-winning writer. And I wanted her to dive in depth a little bit with us, you know, because and the process of what it's like to be a writer on a sitcom. Mm-hmm. So she wrote for Cheers. She's wrote for Ellen when Ellen had her sitcom. And matter of fact, she won an Emmy for the episode, what they call the puppy episode, which is when Ellen comes out of the closet, you know, kind of thing. And then she also helped create and write for The World According to Jim, starring Jim Belushi.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's where she's made her money at and all that, as well as being a singer-songwriter. But that was her whole thing, you know, for many, many years of writing for television. So I was really hoping to get her on today so to talk about it, but. Oh, well.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll try and get her on. We'll still try and get her on.
Yeah, this thing could be still going on next week or the week after. So,
well, to get Tracy on, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Okay, so. And this one's sad for me.
Why?
Because back in the late 60s, early 70s, I guess in the 70s, one of my favorite singer-songwriters was Gordon Lightfoot. If you could read my mind, I just loved that song. It was just the time and the way he performed. He did things like Early Morning Rain and Sundown, For Loving Me. He was Grammy nominated, and he gave the world quite the repertoire of songs. If you listen to most of his songs, they're all just, you can listen to them.
Really well crafted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very well. He died on May 1st at the Sunnybrook Hospital in Toronto of natural causes. His publicist confirmed that the Songwriters Hall of Fame member was 84 years old.
Oof. Wow.
Nice.
That's I did not realize he was that old.
How old are you, Steve?
I'm 52.
If you're 52, I'm 25.
Really? Well,
you both look great.
Yeah.
But his sundown one is the "Don't Go Creeping Down My Back Stairs."
Sundown. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that one. And the Edmund Fitzgerald's.
Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's his most famous.
Rainy Day People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there you go, guys. Okay. And
that's what's trending.
That's what's trending. All right.
Eat your heart out. What's her name?
Camlin?
Camlin.
Camlin. Would you like to talk to her and see
you trash talking Camlin?
Just give her a little dig.
Poor thing. Yeah, she's under the weather. She called last moment or whatever, or texted me last moment today or whatever, saying that she's not feeling too good. I'm so sorry. I was trying to get better.
Get better, Camlin.
Yeah, get better. Absolutely. Well, it's also a National Comic Book Day, basically. So we've talked about this before. Comic books, the most expensive ones ever to sell everything. Now, were you a comic book collector?
I never was. I love the movies, watching with my sons. But as a boy, no. It was one of those things my parents would... Oh, they're too expensive. We're not going to buy you. And I just...
25 cents. Yeah, too expensive.
I was more of a... Well, there was never a shop in my neighborhood, but we had a baseball card shop.
Uh-huh.
So I got into baseball cards. That was my thing.
Now, Steve, you were into comic books.
Yeah, but not the... Not the like the Batman and Superman. I wasn't really into those. I had a friend that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of them and everything, but I was into those. I was into more the stuff, the Disney stuff and the Archies and things like that.
Those comics, okay.
And the one I liked the most was the Crypt Keeper.
The Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, I love those comics. We had some of those original comics right when I was like a teenager. And yeah, I love that stuff.
I was all about like the Sunday comics. I religiously read the comics in the newspaper. But you know, Calvin and Hobbes and Farside but I know that these are the
DC
Marvel. Yeah.
I never got into comics until I was in college. At all, whether it was the newspaper ones or whatever.
And what got you into it?
A bandmate of mine, Brett Hutchinson. We were in a class together. We were taking a history class together, and then we had formed a band. And so one day, he and I were having lunch, I think is what it was, and then he asked me on the way back to school, going, "Hey, do you mind if we stop at the comic book store real quick?" You know, and I said, "Sure, not a problem." You know, and so we stopped one there in Fullerton, and so I see this picture of Robin. But it was a completely different outfit. It was like a new, updated outfit. You know, not the little pixie boots or whatever, and the green shorts, and you know what have you. Excuse me, sorry guys. It was completely different, And definitely for that time period, you know, early 90s, was definitely a more updated look to it. And I made a comment about it. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, that's the new Robin. I go, oh, what do you mean new? He goes, oh, they killed the last one. I'm like, they killed Dick Grayson? He goes, no, Jason Todd. They killed Jason. Who the hell is Jason Todd? Jason. I had no idea.
So this whole world opened up.
It did. And that was the whole start of it. And I've never been the same since. So I've collected certain comics of Batman because I'm a huge Batman fan. And of the comics from those pivotal points of where Dick left, why he left and everything. And there's a couple of different storylines because of that.
Yeah.
How he came across Jason Todd. And like originally they, here we go, nerd talk, guys. They originally were having Jason Todd be exactly a duplicate of Dick Grayson. And then there was a series, one of the Crisis series that DC was using. And after Crisis, they decided to change it. So instead of being another acrobat who lost his parents, now they changed him to this kid who was living on the streets and stole tires from the Batmobile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that kind of the Chris O'Donnell take on it, where he was like a, when Chris O'Donnell played Robin?
That's supposed to be the Dick Grayson version.
Is he? I can't remember.
But ever since then, but see, ever since the comics changed his outfit, all the other people that have done the films and the animated series, whatever, have been using the Tim Drake look.
Okay.
So, and that's that newer costume. Yeah. So we're already on Robin number three by the time I get into it. I'm like, wait a minute, well, what happened to one and two?
Yeah.
You know? And so that was my...
Gotcha.
Me going down the rabbit hole, that whole experience, and catching up on everything.
Got it.
And through the 90s and everything, I mean, you picked up those comics, and it was like reading a soap opera.
Yeah.
Of this and that. It got more graphic and this and everything and what have you.
A lot of cliffhangers and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. You know, of different things going on. So anyway, so most expensive comic books sold. It's changing on a regular basis, it seems. But here we go. X-Men, number one. How much do you think it sold for?
I don't know, six figures?
One, two, three, four. Yes.
Okay. That's all I got.
Okay. $872,000.
Wow. I was going to say, geez.
That's my God.
Yeah. Yeah. X-Men number one. So if you have that mint condition, you know.
Well, I had four or five of them last week, but I don't know what happened.
My mom sold them at a yard sale.
Oh, God. That happened to him.
Really? Yeah. She sold some of my baseball cards at a yard sale. I was like, what did you do?
My parents threw away so much stuff.
Really?
My comic books from the 50s, baseball cards from the 50s, Mickey Mantle cards, and things like that. They just threw them all away and decided I didn't need them anymore.
Because he went away to college, and he doesn't need them anymore because he's grown up.
He's an adult.
Imagine.
He doesn't need these.
Imagine.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. All right. Fantastic Four, number one.
Probably not as much.
Actually, it's higher.
Oh, wow.
Are you going from bottom
low
to
high?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Low to high.
Oh, okay. Then a million five.
You're right, on the money.
Really?
1.5 million.
All right.
1.5 million.
Fantastic Four.
This one has dropped down a little bit. Detective Comics number 27. This is the debut of Batman.
Das Boot. Okay. So around the same?
1.7 million.
Wow.
1.7. And because of the Marvel stuff going on and everything, a lot of these other comics have now been going up in price. So Captain America Comics number one. How much do you think?
Two.
Steve?
Yeah, two.
Sure, no. $3.1 million dollars on this one.
God.
Action Comics number one, which is the debut of Superman.
Four. $4 million.
Almost. $3.55 million.
Wow.
Yeah. And one person who owned one of those was Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, he's a big... He was almost Superman, yeah.
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 Yeah, and he started to collect them. Then he finally sold them off, whatever. And
yeah. There's a YouTube video of him and Tim Burton in like, a fitting for the costume.
Well, there was a documentary on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was so good.
And just how all the things made it not happen. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. But the guy got the spider in the end because of Wild Wild West.
That's right. The mm-hmm. one creature he wanted.
The
yeah.
one creature he wanted, you know, the giant spider.
Just put it in the... We'll just put it in the Wild West.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dumbass. All right. Amazing Fantasy 15, which is, this is the debut of Spider-Man.
Oh. 5 million.
Almost, but 3.6 million.
Oh, okay.
3.6 million.
I would have paid 5 million for that.
Well, if you pay 5.3, yeah. you can get Superman number one.
Mm.
Ooh. Superman, so, which was funny because it outdoes the debut of Action Comics number one. Because that one, again, is 3.55, but Superman number one is $5.3 million.
Which I don't know if it's true, but we were just watching the M. Night Shyamalan movie Ding Glass, mm-hmm. Which is about Superman. Have you seen that trilogy?
No.
Unbreakable, Glass, and Split, and Glass. You might check it out. You might like it. It's about superheroes in like a real world setting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and if I don't know if you like his movies. They're not always the best, but sometimes they're good.
There's a few that I kind of liked.
But there's a lot of superhero talk in it, so you might okay. like that trilogy.
I like Hancock.
The Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 where he was drunk all the time. He's flying drunk.
Breaking things.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that was a fun one. Yeah, so it's similar to that. It's more of like a real-world superhero yeah. setting, yeah. So, yeah.
All righty. Well, of course, guys, so there you go. So those are the most expensive comic
wow.
books right now.
Guy.
Of course, we were talking about it earlier. We mentioned earlier that the last 2 days, whether it's been a big Star Wars event, Carrie Fisher getting, you know, her star on the yeah. Walk of Fame and everything. So I've got here some of the best Star Wars quotes other than "May the Force be with you," which is, of course, the biggest one.
Correct.
So, and some of these I'm kind of like, I don't know. But I do like this one, though. This is from Rogue One, where the blind guy goes, "I am one with the Force. The Force is with me."
He keeps repeating that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I'm like, love Rogue One. I'm like, that's kind of cool. All right.
And I just saw him in John Wick. He's in the new John Wick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Difficult to see. Always in motion, the future is.
That must be Yoda.
Yeah, Yoda from Empire Strikes Back. This is kind of cool. This is from Lando Calrissian of Rise of Skywalker. "We had each other. That's how we won."
Ah, that was a good Billy D.
Billy D, I tried to, you know.
Colt 45.
Colt 45. Yeah, ram ram a ding dong. Of course, Obi-Wan says, "In my experience, there is no such thing as luck."
Yes.
From A New Hope.
Yes.
So, let's see. "You can only get so far without a tribe," from the Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, I have to rewatch that one.
Yeah. I kind of had a love-hate with the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I was there with you.
It was kind of like, okay, it started off kind of cool, whatever, but then I'm like, why are we talking? Why is Grogu here?
Yeah.
That should be on the other show.
He complained recently that they kind of like took it away from him.
Yeah.
The actor, that they didn't really commit to him.
Him.
His character.
Yeah,
which they
should.
Yeah, they did not.
They should have.
Yeah.
Let's see. This one was really interesting. I don't know why they put this in here, but I kind of get it. "Let the past die. Kill it if you have to. It's the only way to become what you were meant to be."
Oh, is that Kylo?
Yeah, from The Last Jedi.
That sounds like Kylo.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a good one, too. "Never tell me the odds."
Heard that one before.
Yep. Let's see. "Who's more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him?"
Who's more foolish? Yeah, that's Alec Guinness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From New Hope again.
You can hear him saying that.
Yeah. "Sometimes we must let go of our pride and do what is requested of us."
Oh, who's that?
That's actually Anakin Skywalker from Attack of the Clones.
Oh, Anakin.
Yeah. He was smart a couple of times, though.
He has that line about the sand. Is the sand in there?
No.
I hate sand.
Yeah.
It gets in between your toes.
Son of a bitch, I ain't going to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, from The Force Awakens, the belonging you seek is not behind you, it is ahead.
Hmm. Who that?
That is Mos Kanata when she's talking to Rey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Don't remember that one.
Notice I'm pulling out these characters really quick.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, got him a nerd.
You know your Star Wars characters.
I do. That's scary. Yoda tells Anakin, "Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose." That's actually pretty good.
That's some life advice there.
Yeah. Let's see. You can't stop change any more than you can stop the suns from setting.
This is some deep life advice here.
Yeah, and that's Shmi Skywalker telling her son Anakin.
Shmi.
Yeah, telling her son, stop being a baby. Go be a Jedi, you little dumbass. Let's see. And then, of course, Vader says, I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Disturbing, yes.
And, of course, the most famous one from the little green guy, try not, do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
And that's quoted an awful lot, too.
That's a good one, too, yeah.
Yeah. Really cool one. All right. Other things I've got here for you guys. Actors you didn't realize who appeared in Star Wars.
Do tell.
All right. This one surprised me. And then I went back and go, oh, yeah. Keira Knightley.
When was that?
She's in The Phantom Menace.
Oh, before, like, Pirates of the Caribbean?
She played Amidala's decoy, Sabine, who is outed as a double to Natalie Portman's character when meeting Boss Nass.
Oh, I'll have to look for that. Yeah. That was pre-Pirates.
Uh-huh. Way pre-Pirates. Dominic West is in Star Wars. He's in The Phantom Menace.
Is he a guard of some kind?
Yes, yeah. He played a palace guard on Naboo.
Remember that?
Okay. Joel Egerton from Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh.
It's pretty obvious because he played Uncle Owen.
That's right, the younger version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, duh, hello, yeah. He's right there. And then what's nice is that in the series Obi-Wan Kenobi, he comes back and reprises his role.
Oh, nice.
Which is really cool. This one surprised me. Sofia Coppola is in Episode 1.
Oh.
Yep.
I thought she had retired from acting and...
Yeah, no, she...
Directed, mostly.
No, let's see. Since her father, Francis Ford Coppola, was good friends with George Lucas, so she visited the set, Lucas found a costume and popped her up into the scene with one of Paname's handmaidens.
Oh, okay.
So, little guy. Find her, though.
When she's not making wine with her.
Exactly. Let's see here. Who else is really good? Oh, John Ratzenberger from Cheers.
Oh, the Pixar and Cheers guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in Empire Strikes Back as one of the commanders on Hoth.
Oh.
The one with the mustache. The only one with the mustache.
Cliff Clavin.
Right.
Ah.
So he's in it.
He's in every Pixar movie. They
purposely do that,
Lucky Charm, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Julian Glover, of course, you know, known for HBO's Game of Thrones, whatever. He's an Imperial Commander in Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
So, and then let's see, who else? Tony Cox. He's the guy who played in Bad Santa, the little elf in Bad Santa.
Oh, African American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Tony Cox. So he actually played an Ewok.
Oh, in costume.
In costume on Return of the Jedi. And then Deep Roy, who we all know as being playing one of the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah,
from Johnny Depp's version of Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
He, in the long shots, when like Yoda's walking, that's him.
He's Yoda's stand-in. Wow.
So they had him in costume, whatever, in those long shots, that's him walking.
Oh, that's funny.
And it's uncredited also.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about those.
Yeah, or that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We don't talk about that one.
Yeah. So.
Deep Roy.
Yeah.
He opened a restaurant in Downey where I live.
Did he really?
Yeah. And it was open for about less than a year. And then it was like Indian and Western food. It was like a mix of.
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, it was as unique as he is. And people didn't really take to it. And it was gone shortly after.
I was going
to
say probably a short menu.
I won't continue the puns of that one.
Oh, we could.
We could. But we won't.
Believe me, the three of us could. Absolutely. So, there you go. So, a couple cool things with Star Wars. So, which is kind of cool. And there are a whole bunch of other people, too, have made little cameos and this and that.
I bet.
Like, what's his name? The James Bond.
Craig? Daniel Craig?
Yeah, he's like one of the stormtroopers in.
That's right. I remember that story.
Yeah, in Force Awakens.
Yeah.
So
I remember seeing Warwick Davis Warwick Davis, the Willow guy?
Yeah, he does a couple other different ones. Well, he's also like in Phantom Menace, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's done a couple of different roles and cameos. The whole thing, yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is that through all the original trilogies, so the original, the prequel, and then the new ones, the only actor to maintain constant throughout all of them is Anthony Daniels.
Oh, right, right.
Who plays C-3PO.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know who the first character to speak in A New Hope is?
Oh, God. I think it was him.
It was?
Yeah.
It was C-3PO.
Yeah, C-3PO.
Yeah, yeah. You know your
trivia. I, dude, Karen and Roman will play trivia, like Trivial Pursuit, you know, Star Wars.
Are you just banging them all
Dad,
out?
Dad, who's the guy who, when they can't answer the question, they don't know. I'm like, it's Admiral Piet. Why do I know this? Why do I know this? You know. It's a Minoc. Who's chewing the power cables.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd. Of course, as you walk up the stairs, you notice that I changed the thing over here.
No, I'll take a look.
Oh, yeah. So, like, you know how we have that counter as you walk up the stairs on the landing? There's that shelf that's there. So, of course, we have the crabs, you know, and the fish tank on one side. Well, yes, it's all Star Wars.
Oh.
I'm surprised it's a big giant AT-AT, and R2-D2's over there.
In honor of the week?
No, actually, I did that a couple of weeks ago. So
every day is May the 4th in this house.
Absolutely. It's either Batman or Star Wars or whatever.
Right on.
So, all right. So there you go, guys. So, yeah, if you guys can catch it, too, I think all weekend long, I think they're playing the movies. So on cable.
On the big screen?
On cable. Oh, okay. Oh, but the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi is going to be hitting the big screen, though, pretty soon, too. So check your local listings for that, in all honesty. Because, I mean, to go back and see that on the big screen.
That's fun.
That's going to be cool to do.
Yeah.
That's going to be really, really cool to do. God, 40 years since Jedi.
I know. And do you remember, like, the late 90s when Phantom Menace was coming out and how hyped everyone was?
Oh, yeah.
You finally were getting new content. And now we've got a show here, a show there.
Yeah.
New movies, like... It's a good time for a Star Wars fan.
Well, I remember, too, of, like, when the figures came out.
For
Phantom Menace.
Yeah,
and everything,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I went with friends of mine to Toys R Us when there was a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And waiting in line from, you know, because at midnight, and we're getting there at 10 o'clock, and waiting in line and everything to...
They gobbled
to
them up.
To get
toys
and everything.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, all the new figures and everything and what have you, so...
Now Toys R Us is like a section in Macy's. Within Macy's, there's like a Toys R Us section.
Is there really?
Yeah, at the Macy's by me. You know, and they got Jeffrey the Giraffe, and they're like, Toys R Us, but it's just a part of a floor in the...
Three rows, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just some toys.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I'll have to check my Macy's over here at Westminster then.
Yeah, I don't know if that one too, but yeah, the other one by me, but yeah.
But no, we stood out in line to get the new figures and everything. And
like camping out for tickets.
Yeah, and every once in a while too, I'll still grab, like if I see something, like there's a place over here in Buena Park, at the Buena Park Mall, that caters to that. It's a collector store.
Uh-huh.
So every once in a while, I'll go in when I have a little extra money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And go in and check out something and go, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Moff Gideon.
Yeah. You know, or new figure, or new this, or whatever, uniform, what have you. So I'll pick those up. So, all right. You know what? One thing we haven't done, we got to do, and I just realized this too, horoscopes.
Yeah.
We should do horoscopes.
Ooh.
See our future.
Oh, Steve got excited. All right. All right. So, partner, why don't you go ahead and start off?
And this month's horoscope is
Taurus.
Dennis. It's so Taurus.
Yeah. So let's start with them.
All right, Taurus, Tauri out there. There will be plenty to see and do this month as your birthday season lights up our skies and your popularity. You're going to be in the mood, however, to edit your friendship circle, making room for people that you truly value and staying away from those that bring you drama or grief. You might want to hold back on any dramatic hairstyle changes or large wardrobe investments until May 14th. That's the day. Watch out for romantic drama on the 5th.
Uh-oh.
It may make or break relationships.
That was yesterday.
A lot of couples could be splitting under this eclipse.
We should call Camilla and see if she's doing okay. Maybe that's why she's sick.
No. Let's not joke about that.
Make sure she's okay. That's
I hope so. And on May 7th, tomorrow, you'll have an opportunity to kiss and make up if your love life has been on the rocks. Yeah. So that's good. Look to tomorrow.
Makeup is always good.
Yeah. Look for a year of good luck on the 16th, bringing forth fortune and fame and whatever your heart desires. Don't let it slip through your fingers, and remember to work hard toward your goals, Tauruses. And there's a new moon on May 19th, which is poised to be one of the most fortuitous days of the year for you.
Yay.
That's your horoscope, Taurus is.
All right. I got Libra. So that's you, partner.
Let me have it.
All right, your world will revolve around change and transformation this month because Taurus season activities your solar eighth house. I know you had eight homes, man. That's kind of cool. This cosmic climate can give you the strength and motivation to turn away from people or situations that are holding you back from your highest potential, like this show, helping you move away from that which no longer serves you. Like the show. We can blame the Scorpio full moon eclipse on 2 days ago or yesterday will be particularly powerful for you. Did you feel powerful yesterday?
I actually did.
Well, you should, because it's helping you understand that sometimes one must embrace destruction to make new way for new growth.
Love it.
Yeah. Did you destroy anything yesterday?
Not physically, no.
Oh, but that student, he embarrassed, so that was pretty good.
Destroyed them?
Yeah, destroyed the student. All right. You'll sense a shift on the 7th, that's tomorrow, encouraging you to set boundaries in the name of self-preservation.
Yeah,
so you got to set those boundaries again.
Yeah.
So let's see here. This can also bring blessings to your professional sphere, helping you manifest career goals that you've been working on for some time. If you're in a serious relationship, are you in a serious relationship?
I'm married.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
This cosmic climate could also spell success for your sweetie. Doesn't say your wife, but your sweetie.
Okay.
Making it important that you're both ready and willing to support one another through new challenges. You guys going through new challenges?
Yeah.
You always go through
always,
challenges.
Always, yeah.
Use the new moon on May 19th to set intentions on how you hope to evolve throughout the next 6 months, making a vow to take accountability for these ambitions. You'll feel inspired and to socialize and make connections beginning on the 20th. Use this energy to invest into your network because doing so can elevate your popularity and confidence. Are you pretty popular?
No, I was never voted most popular in school.
What about now? You got commercials under your belt.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You know, I have a caveman commercial.
No likes, or no followers.
I feel you though.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But you got to get your confidence up too.
Okay.
So rush of luck and optimism will wash over you when the sun enters Gemini on May 21st, marking a period of blessings and support from the other side.
Looking forward to it.
So this thing might be a good month for you overall.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
All right. What do you got, Steve?
I got Gemini.
Ooh,
twinsies.
Okay. You might feel as though your head is underwater this month, dear Gemini, as three celestial bodies move through your solar 12th house.
I got 12 homes?
12 houses.
Damn, no wonder I had to pay
taxes. Meanwhile, your planetary ruler, Mercury, is pushing you to take stock of your life as you review both happy and painful memories. Though there might be a few dark moments ahead, the universe will ultimately illuminate higher paths moving forward. Know that you might need a break. I'll try that again.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Know that you might need...
That was so good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
To break free from toxic relationships or habits while making a concerted effort to overcome fears that have been holding you back.
Okay.
Oh, this is good. Here, you'll like this. Opportunities for financial growth and personal manifestation.
Oh, God, and Lord knows I need it.
Yeah, a lot of personal manifestation will expand on May 7th, activating the sector of your chart that governs money.
I guess I should play the lottery tomorrow then.
Yeah.
There you go. This planetary placement is also perfect for tapping into your gratitude. You have our gratitude.
Yeah, all right.
Taking the time to appreciate what you have as you continue to build your empire, like Dr. Klon.
Dr. Klon?
Mm-hmm.
The Wrath of Khan?
No, from Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh!
A fistful of yen.
Oh, that's a
take him to Detroit!
That's a deep reference there.
Oh, there you go.
So deep, we didn't get it.
Yeah. You'll sense yourself perking up on the 14th, giving you permission to look forward to the future once more. And optimism will come more easily on May 16th. And the power of positive thinking will be ever evident than more than ever evident. We'll move on. You'll okay. feel motivated to follow through on any brilliant ideas your psyche has been cooking up on the 20th.
Oh, I've got a lot of ideas going right now, so.
I don't know why that sentence was hard. Though it will be important to lean into your spirituality throughout the journey. A T-square overhead suggests that you'll need to face your fears and embrace change if you're going to truly transform. Go ahead and do a happy dance when the sun enters your sign while lifting your spirits on May 21st.
Mm.
Happy day.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Okay. So it looks like it might be a good month for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You we'll know. Have to compare in June,
yeah.
June 1st.
Yeah. So I got to get lottery tickets tomorrow, though.
Oof. Yeah. It's a Saturday, though, isn't it? Do they have a Sunday lottery?
I don't know, but either way, I need to get it. That was pretty good, guys.
Almost.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Scorpio?
Oh, that's a me.
That's a you.
That's a you.
Okay, hold on to your seat here, Steve. May will be a romantic month for you.
Wait. We're talking about Steve?
Whoa.
It says it right here.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, so far, no good.
No, well, get ready.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Taurus is going to light up the sector of your chart that governs love. Expect to feel butterflies in your stomach.
Ooh, that's going to hurt.
I already had that happen.
Well, it's love.
I ate some chili a couple days ago.
It's not the chili. It's love, Steve. All right? You're going to embrace harder. Yes, the Love Boat binge watch, maybe, is what's...
That's where it is. I've been watching reruns of Love Boat.
Now would be a good time to fire up your dating apps or ask to be set up, though happily single Scorpios can relish these vibes by investing more time in self-care and embracing decadence.
We'll have to go down to Hangar 52 on Tuesday and
self-care,
see if they've
yourself.
Got the...
Yeah.
Be self-care and...
Self-care
and
yourself.
Oh, don't worry. I got that handled.
Baths and...
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah. The full moon eclipse manifests in your sign May 5th, marking the perfect excuse to prioritize your own needs.
Too bad it was cloudy.
You'll need to shed your old skin to try on a new one. Yeah.
Okay. That's a lot of old skin.
Good vibes. Continue to flow in your chart on the 7th. That's tomorrow. And embrace you to connect with others on a philosophical level.
Wait, we're talking about Steve.
Yes, this is Steve. He's got philosophical things going on.
I know about philosophy. Wasn't it Plato that said to do is to be? And Aristotle said to be is to do. And Sinatra said doobie doobie doo.
Again,
like
you
want philosophy, buddy. I got it.
There might be a listener right now, like falling in love. Just you know, we don't know.
And they're in Indiana.
And they're but they'll find him at Your Weekly Dose.
There you go. Yeah,
there you go. I'm right here.
And mark this down. On May 20th, you'll be shifting your gears towards success. Your drive and determination will help you get your agenda across. And don't be afraid to be more aggressive and confident toward your ambitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things kick off on the 21st, and you'll be asked to reevaluate and renegotiate your commitments both personally and professionally.
Wow.
Well, there you go, guys. All right.
I'd like to meet the people that make this stuff up.
Did any of you guys go out and celebrate last night, Cinco de Mayo?
No.
No. I like that big no.
No, those days are like I thought. Yeah, no, those days are
I
not.
Didn't really know it was the 5th.
What month is it?
I wanted to go out and at least like have like some ceviche or something.
But when I took
dinner to my son yesterday, you know, I was talking about we went to a Mexican restaurant, so at least that was good, you know.
Yeah.
So he had taquitos, I had some tacos and everything. So at least we had that. I didn't have the margaritas though.
No.
Which I really wanted.
Yeah, so. Drinking at the high school probably wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, that would not have been the best thing, you know. But because it was Cinco de Mayo yesterday, two things, of course.
Yeah.
Like to say happy birthday to our dear friend Brian Phelps from the Mark and Brian program. Mm. So yesterday was his birthday. Talked to him briefly. We were kind of texting back and forth. So for those of you who listen to the show, Brian is doing well, enjoying it. He has promised at some point that he will be come back on the show. He's been on the show several times.
Nice.
And come back and be in the room, even, he said. So he said he'll definitely do that for us and come back. So we'll keep him to his word because I've got it on my phone.
Is he just retired? Is he?
He's enjoying his retirement overall, traveling and everything. He goes back home every now and then, you know, to visit his brother and sister and so forth back in Chicago. So. But other than that, he's doing great and just enjoying life,
good,
as he should.
Good.
As he should. So,
very good.
So happy birthday, Brian. We really appreciate that. And of course, because it is Cinco de Mayo, what better way to celebrate it than by giving you guys the Mexican word of the day?
Oh, here we go. Hey, don't step on my hat, man.
Oh, yeah. So, Mexican word of the day. So, what do we got here, buddy?
Word number one, supplies.
Supplies. Supplies. Okay.
At my birthday party, this lady jumped out of the Tres Leches cake naked, and she said, supplies.
Fascinate.
My shirt has 10 buttons, but after I eat 20 tacos, I can only fascinate.
Cheese.
Oh, my chica, she want me to get her pregnant. Cheese, crazy.
Anguish.
I feel so bad doing that.
No, you don't.
I forgot to call you Anguish. You had happy birthday.
That's okay. Water.
My girlfriend always gets mad at me. I don't even know what her problem is.
Well, she's crazy.
She's crazy.
Entice.
My girlfriend gets a little rough sometimes. I like it. When she blindfolds me, entice me up.
She's crazy. Lysol.
I need a new girlfriend because mine lice all the time.
Oh, wow. Shoulder.
Yeah, take a deep breath.
My friend didn't know how to read, so I shoulder.
Your shoulder. Deliver.
My doctor told me to stop drinking beer. Oh, yeah, like that's going to happen. Because it's bad on deliver.
The sooner the better. Yeah, deliver the letter. Chicken wing.
My wife plays the ladder at a time so she can chicken wing some money.
I'm going to apologize to my Mexican side of the family.
Yeah. My last name's Silva.
Yeah, lo siento.
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm not.
You're not.
I'm not, because half of them speak like that.
Well, you didn't read them. That's why you're not.
Oh, my God.
But what's funny for me is I got literally half my family talks like that, and they're not even from East L.A.
They're not.
No.
Born in the East L.A.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Okay. We got through it.
Yeah, we did. All right. Since we got through that, should we play the game, guys?
Let's play the game.
Oh. All right. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's...
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for that interesting new game show that was present when King Charles actually said, man, she lived a long time. I thought she'd never die.
Wow.
Quiz me.
Quiz you.
All right. Of course, we got intern Christopher here with us. How are you, young sir?
I'm doing.
Oh, wait a minute. Where are you at?
He's so far away.
I know.
Why is he's right there.
Oh, wait. I know why. Hold on.
Why?
I have to disengage from this button here, so it switches over. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello.
There we go.
I am here once again. So shall we begin?
Let's go ahead and begin. Yes, please.
Okay, I said question number one.
Oh, I didn't even hear that.
Yeah, I said let's begin with question number one. Okay, and you didn't
talk
go.
Louder. I'm having trouble hearing
okay,
you.
Okay, I'll talk louder.
There you go. That's good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Which right. question is it?
Well, number one.
Oh, didn't we already do that one?
I don't know. Starting with one for a change. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, I forgot what question it is.
It's question number one.
We're in a loop.
No, time loop.
Is there an echo in here?
Groundhog Day.
Yep.
Groundhog Day. All right. Where was the first U.S. athletic club formed?
Where?
Oh, mm-hmm. Forest.
Forest.
New York.
No.
The first athletic club?
I was thinking the same thing.
You mean like a 24-hour fitness type thing?
I don't really know because it was formed back in the 1900s. Like early
Steve.
Early Steve.
Boston.
No.
Ooh. Boston.
Sean.
Sean.
Chicago.
No, it is on West Coast.
West Coast?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Steve.
Steve.
San Francisco.
That is correct.
Oh.
Steve got the first point of the game. And
were you a member? Were you a member, Steve?
Popped in my brain.
I mean, he was probably around when it was formed, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question number two.
West Coast.
Thank you.
Delay.
All right. John Paul II was the first pope to enter what kind of religious building?
First to enter what?
What kind
Sean.
Of religious building? Sean.
Building.
Jewish.
No. I'm actually looking for the name of the place.
Oh.
Oh, synagogue.
No.
Oh. Like a specific name?
Well, not the... No, but the type.
Okay, forest.
Forest.
A mosque.
That is correct.
Oh, good job.
Nice job, Forest.
Was he wearing a mosque when he entered?
That was my second guess.
Yeah, I was thinking it was a... Yeah.
Question number three. What year did Babe Ruth hit his first MLB home run?
Year.
Steve, you were there.
I'm trying to remember.
On the mound.
Steve.
Steve.
1912.
No, but that's pretty darn close.
Wow.
Ooh.
Forrest.
Forrest.
11.
No, Steve is still closest, though.
Sean.
Sean.
14.
No, Sean is the closest, though.
Forrest.
Forrest.
13.
No.
Oh.
Sean's still
Steve.
The closest.
Steve. 15.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, with the second point on the board as we move on to question number four. What animal is Timon from The Lion King?
Oh.
Sean.
Sean.
He's a meerkat.
That is correct. Sean getting himself on the board.
Mm-hmm.
On to question five. This might be a bit hard for you guys, but what does TLDR mean?
TLDR.
No, I don't know it. I thought I did, but I don't. Time is it like a audio kind of thing?
Well, it's used. It's definitely used.
It's definitely
used a lot more in modern day culture.
TLDR.
Yeah, rings a bell. It's not an acronym. It's not like a LOL.
No, it is.
It is an acronym.
It is an acronym. Yes.
Oh, I was thinking. You know what I mean? Like a text acronym versus like a technical term.
Okay, I'm kind of getting your difference, but yes, but each letter represents a different word.
Sure. Yeah.
Anything?
No, nothing. What is it?
Well, since I'm catching you up to speed with this, too long it didn't read. So basically, like, if like maybe like,
okay.
Like you could say like for a lot of the terms of service, TLDR, too long, didn't read it.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, the other one is, don't give a shit.
Yeah.
To quote Peanut, meow.
Meow.
Meow. We're going to meow on to question number six. Johnny Cash's first live album was recorded...
Sean.
Folsom
Prison.
That is correct. All right.
Steve was there for that one, too.
I was.
Front row.
Question number 7. What are the colors of the Olympic rings?
Sean.
Sean.
Black.
Okay.
Red.
Okay.
Blue.
Okay.
Yellow.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm missing one more. White.
No! Steve just sabotaged it.
Wow. No, shit. No. Oh, who wants to come in and steal it from him?
Yeah. What is it then, Steve? Tell us.
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.
Oh, my God. It's green.
Oh, shit. Now I know what it is.
Green.
Yeah,
green.
The last one is green. I'm going to give that to Steve. I'm sorry.
He's got
to
say them all, though.
Steve, you said them all?
He just tripped you before the finish line and then just ran,
oh, screw
ran
y'all,
past
yeah.
the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't condone that.
Yeah.
But he got it. Worked.
He got it.
It worked.
He got it. We're moving on to question number 8. Steve's dying.
You're walking home.
He belongs on the Houston Astros.
All right.
That was great.
Shaking his can, banging his can at you.
All right. How many viewers did the TV show Friends have for its final episode?
Oh, God.
I mean, like, final episode? I mean, like, the final episode of the 10th season.
Sure. Forrest.
Forrest.
12.
12 viewers?
Million. Didn't you say million? Like, how many million?
No, I just said viewers. But
oh, 12 million.
It is going to be up in the millions.
I said 12 million.
Yeah, no.
Not 12 people.
I was going to say.
No. It is up in the millions, but no, not 12
okay.
million.
Okay.
Nah, you got to go higher than that.
Sean. 60 million.
No, but we've gone above the number.
Okay.
But we've entered into the right range, though, I feel like.
Okay. Steve. 47.
No, but we're zoning in. We're zoning in. Steve is now the closest.
Forrest. 52.
That is correct.
Yeah.
52 million.
No, I meant 52 people is what I meant.
Oh. Okay, well, then that can... You okay. wrong.
You're way
you
off.
Lose.
Okay.
You lose. Good dice, sir.
You get nothing.
Question number 9.
Oh, sorry. I was getting involved in the show.
Where was the Hindenburg made?
Sean.
Germany. That is correct.
Hindenburg.
Pick one.
Hindenburg, exactly.
It's actually the anniversary.
It crashed in New Jersey.
Yeah. And it's actually the day that it happened.
Today?
Yeah. May 6th.
Wow.
Is that the Led Zeppelin cover?
Yeah.
Is that the Hindenburg?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's your fun fact for the day. All right, last question. Question number 10. In what state is it legal?
Legal.
To hunt.
Steve.
Was that you, Steve?
No.
Sounded like it. I heard Steve.
No. I didn't say anything.
Okay. So in what state is it legal to hunt?
Steve.
To hunt Steve.
Unicorns.
In what
Steve.
State?
Steve.
Florida.
No, but yes, that's a very admirable guess.
That was a statement.
Forest.
Texas.
No, surprisingly enough, it's not from the South.
They love hunting anything.
Hunt unicorns.
Kill to hunt, hunt to kill.
Great white honey.
I like grapes.
How about Steve?
Steve.
Wait a minute.
Oregon.
I got to go first. You got until you go.
You're just sitting there.
Shut
you
up.
You have no idea.
Shut up.
You have
Shut
not
up.
A clue.
To be fair, you weren't Sean. Able to say green, so.
It's not Florida. It's not Texas. Not Oregon.
Well, it's not a southern right. state. So, Sean.
Sean.
How about Maine?
No, but we are in the right part. We are north. No. Well, north. North area.
Okay. Forest. Washington.
No.
Steve. Did somebody say New York?
No.
Is it New York?
No.
Okay. No, but, guess.
I mean, I would say it's more Midwest and everything. Mid-East, probably.
Mid-East.
Mid-East.
I'd be like,
Oh, I think like, okay.
Like people say the Midwest, but it's actually the Mid-East. Yes. Yeah.
Wait.
I mean, if you divide it in half, it's technically Mid-East.
Okay.
Tennessee.
No.
That's still the South, though. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Forest. Ohio.
No, but that's also not a bad guess. Okay.
Thank you. I was about to say that.
Oh, okay.
Any last minute guesses, Steve?
Indiana.
No. Any last minute guesses?
Sean. Illinois.
Sean. No, Illinois.
New Jersey.
No, not New Jersey. That's too far east.
Oh, Kentucky.
No.
Pennsylvania.
Alabama.
No. That's still the South.
Arizona. Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii,
Rhode Island.
Idaho, Illinois, Indiana.
Surprisingly enough,
Iowa,
you did not
Kansas,
say it.
Kentucky, Louisiana, right, Maine, no, Maryland, no, Massachusetts, Michigan.
There you go.
Massachusetts.
Wait, no, sorry.
Michigan. I heard
it
wrong.
There you go.
Michigan. What is
Michigan. Michigan.
Michigan.
Michigan. Michigan.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, Ted Nugent's there. That's why. So.
Oh. Hunt anything.
Yeah. He'll, yeah.
shoot this horse that used to have a horn on its head. Call it a unicorn.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, Steve won this one.
Wow.
Let's go, Steve.
All right, Steve.
Asterisk on the win.
There was some nefarious yeah. activity.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I ain't going to bitch about it. All righty, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Lord knows I did. All right, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at yourweeklydose. Twitter and Instagram. You can find us at yourweeklydose1.
You can see a little bit of me with my 12 followers on Instagram at Hartle Theater. Free Lunch the Movie coming soon.
Yay.
See? At Silva Lining 69 on Twitter and just Steve Silva on Facebook, although I don't really do
a whole lot, yeah. All righty, guys. And for me, Sean, you can find me on all the social media simply at Sean R. Unplugged. And also, guys, don't forget to listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. And, of course, we're also still trying to raise money for the Los Alamitos Drama Club's kids, basically, to get them to Indiana. They're in Bloomington for the National Thespian competition there. So if you want to help out, just go to GoFundMe and do a search for Road to Nationals. And you can donate. Or you can also go to our Facebook page, and we have the, what do they call those things? QR codes there, so that way you can also just go directly to the GoFundMe and donate to your heart's delight. Alrighty. Till next week. Hopefully Cameron will feel better. Steve can relax at home.
Yeah.
And have
watch
a good
some more love.
Let the love burn. Alrighty, guys. Take care. Have a good one. Be good to each other.
Hey, love each other, world.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.